Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Hi, Rashida. Happy solstice.
Happy solstice, friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. So full disclosure for our besties, we already recorded this episode in person together and we had some tech issues. So
we have to do it again.
This is our second conversation, but I think we're going to really nail it this time.
I enjoyed the other one. But I will say we both had no idea where to look, each other on the camera. So Bessie's like, if we were to have taken clips from that one, you probably would have been seeing the side of our faces because we just didn't know what we were doing in that moment. But
yeah, but it was a great conversation. But just to catch everyone up, last week I had my book release party at the Kansas City Museum, and Rashida and Macy, her daughter, flew in on Tuesday and stayed with us till Saturday, and we had so much fun. We did all the things. Our kids got to play and laugh and fight together, and we got to just do life together for a few days.
It wasn't anything crazy I will tell you my favorite part, Lauren, it's when the girls were in the tub the second time and we were just sitting in the hallway chatting it up and stretching and just being present, mamas, keep an eye on our kiddos, but also spending that time together. It was just, I really enjoyed that moment. Yeah. And I will cherish that for a while to come.
Yeah. It was really, it was cool just to have normal life together and, go through the ups and downs of being moms together and
having a 3 and 5 year old together.
Yeah, and do it with a light heart and someone else next to your side who totally gets it. So
yes,
it was awesome. Oh, do you want to say hi to Rashida, Jem? She's dressed in she's wearing her cat costume, and the girls really fought over this cat costume.
And you guys, let me tell you, Gemma has a lot of costumes, a lot, but it's something about this cat costume that was just, but I want to wear it, but she's never giving it back. It's my turn. Handled it all with grace, I think we did a really good job.
We did fine. I'll say, we did all kinds of fun stuff and it was so much fun. Can't wait till we get to hang out in person again in February in Costa Rica. And this time we'll be on equal playing ground. So we won't have a bunch of toys to fight over. No tablets.
Yeah.
No, even nature. Snacky treats, just
just whatever they provide.
Exactly.
I'm kind of excited to see how the girls will open up. I mean, they're pretty open. Obviously, they're little, they're kids, but it's something about a container and an environment. And we're gonna be in the jungle, in the middle of nowhere, in this beautiful, lush landscape. And I don't know about you, when we get into nature, there's just something, it's an opening or an unlocking happens. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see how that is through them, how that happens and unfolds. Yeah,
it'll be really cool. And then there'll be other cool moms there and kids, and just, we're going to Origins Gathering, which is a festival / retreat. And yeah, I think it'll be really good. It'll be good to have that break from kind of normal routine in life and just be outside, living outside.
Just living outside, doing the thing. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm not excited about Maciana sleeping in the same bed with me because homegirl is I showed you that picture. She starts off one way and then she her little body just ends up taking up the whole bed. It doesn't matter if it's a twin, queen, king, she just takes it over. But we'll see. I'm sure we'll figure out and get our group. But besties, we're gonna share more about that after that happens. But yeah, this week is really special, and it's kind of cool that we're recording right when this episode is about to come out. Mm-hmm. You know, Christmas is next Monday, and as much as I love that and the traditions that I had with that with my family, I've been really like looking more into the nature-based traditions and the one we have coming up on Thursday. So tomorrow, besties, is Yule.
Yeah, it's Yule. And we'll start with saying that there are many earth-based traditions around the world, and we personally don't know the nuances of each and every one. And a lot of people don't, because they're not, they weren't practiced for a long time, or if they were, they were practiced in the dark. So we are doing our best to find these traditions now and incorporate them into our lives in a way that feels sustainable and authentic and that serves our families. So we'll be sharing kind of what we do know about the solstice, as well as different ways to incorporate this into like a special day for your family. And yes, Christmas can be a really special day, or whatever holiday you celebrate this time of year. But the solstice and nature, the turning of the wheel, the movement of the sun also deserves this reverence. And we can also see that so many of the traditions really stem from these like nature-based practices that were pre-Christianity. So I think you'll find, as we're chatting today, that you might already do a lot of the things for Yule, mm-hmm. Because you celebrate Christmas, perhaps. But we can add just more intention into it and more of this honoring of nature, and also see like the Christmas story as part of the solstice story too, which is one way that I like to look at it and kind of reframe. So shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. I loved what we talked about the first time, and this time's going to be even better.
So I, for these different Sabbats and holidays, I like looking at this resource that I have called Circle Round. It's called Raising Children in Goddess Traditions. So it is very much geared towards like families. But what I like about it is, even if you aren't a mom or don't have a family, you can, it makes it easy. It makes it simple to incorporate different practices and crafts and fun things like that. And it's from Starhawk, Diane Baker, and Anne Hill. All right. So Yule and winter solstice, usually on December 20th, 21st, or 22nd. So this year it's on the 21st at, I think, 9:57 p.m. Central Time, if you want to get really exact with it. And it is the darkest day of the year. It's when the sun kind of symbolically dies and is reborn. So from the solstice on, the days get longer, the sun is out longer. So it's this really like, it's the celebration of both darkness and the promise of hope and light to come. And I love in the book, they say that in our tradition, darkness is not something bad or something to fear. And I love that. This is something, so I led like a winter solstice workshop at the studio at True Love Yoga on Sunday. And that was something we talked about, because like, yes, we can definitely think of the dark in a couple different ways, and they both apply to this time of year. So we can think of the dark as like dark times, as depression and war and violence and sadness and grief and, you know, all of these things that are hard. They're just hard to witness, hard to be in. And the light as this like hope and of safety and love and community and togetherness. So we can think of it in that way, of course. But we can also think of the dark in a little bit different way, I think, where it's the mystery, it's the shadows, It's the more yin energy. You know, in winter, it's this time to really go inward. Many animals hibernate. We don't necessarily hibernate, but the nights are longer, so we're meant to sleep longer. We're meant to rest a little bit more, and that helps us flow with the season and not try to like go against the current or go against the grain. So we can think of, again, darkness as this yin energy, this receptive energy, this space where we go to dream and to imagine and to plant seeds and to let things gestate. So I think as we're talking about Yule, that's more the darkness that we're talking about. So it's something really to like dive into, and I think even like luxuriate in a way, rather than something to run from. How does that resonate for you?
Yeah, it feels really good. It's like what you said about it's, you know, the darkness, reframing that and looking at it as, you know, the mystery, like what can be found in this time of darkness? What is here for me? Not so much where should I hide, but in this darkness, what can I find? And when the light comes, like what will be illuminated, what will be transformed or changed or different?
Yeah,
I think it's like an amazing way to look at this time and this season. And, you know, you talking about, Lauren, how we are literally given the earth and the cosmos, we're literally given this extra time to rest. And are we doing that? Are we taking that time to like really step back and, you know, sit with our shadows for a little bit? And our shadows don't always necessarily, you know, I know we talk about shadow work and this and that, but it doesn't necessarily have to be this negative, bad thing. Because we talked about it before, what things happen at night, you know, what things happen in the dark. We literally give life in the dark, our wombs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And looking at it in that way creates, like, you know, more magic and more mystery around this time.
Yeah. We'll definitely dive more into that with the symbolism of Yule. But I just had a funny memory I wanted to share, which is kind of like the earliest I can remember really tapping into this energy. And probably like when I was a preteen, I shared a bathroom with my brothers. I had two brothers. I would like go in, shut the door, run a warm bath. I'd bring my boom box downstairs, like into the bathroom.
I love that.
I like light one candle and listen to Jewel.
Oh, Jewel, yeah.
And that was like, you know, that was a way of tapping into that, like, okay, relaxing, receptive, like darker in my preteen mind, like more mysterious energy, dreaming up my future, that sort of thing. Maybe thinking about whoever I had a crush on. But anyway, I kind of digress, but that just popped into my head because sometimes it can help to illustrate these energies with just like totally real life.
Yeah, for sure. Like as soon as you said that, I was like on it, on board with like the whole vibe of that, for sure.
Yeah. I also remember, sorry, totally digressing, but you know, doing yoga for the first time, which was in the hospital when I had anorexia and I was in this inpatient program, and I walked into the room and it was dark. And there were candles lit and soft music, and it was quiet. And it was the stark contrast to like everything else that was happening at the time, which were like bright rooms and therapy and, you know, groups and all this kind of stuff. And I just immediately was able to kind of relax, not feel like there's anything needed of me for that time. And really like start to hear my inner voice in a way that I hadn't before, because I hadn't really had that invitation to be in that energy and to pause really ever, except for like taking naps or something like that. Maybe like dance class every once in a while, my ballet teacher would put on Tori Amos and we'd like do legs up the wall. But other than that, sorry. So yeah, that's the energy we're talking about right here. And it can get even like deeper and more spacious and creative, especially like as I look at my own story and diving into this energy, it becomes more profound in a way. All right. So that's this dark energy. So at the solstice, this balance toward the dark has tipped as far as it can go. And then we're ready for the light to come back. And in different Yule traditions, we help the light come back, quote unquote help, because right, it's going to happen. But we're cheering nature along, essentially.
Yes.
And just paying attention to it, right?
Recognizing it, showing it,
Yeah.
yeah, giving it its due for sure.
So,
Being a part of it because that's
yes,
who we are, you know.
exactly. So, like a modern earth-based tradition for this would be staying up all night and having a like a feast, like a party, and celebrating, cheering the this return of the sun, which is really cool, I think. And they also say that if you are not one to stay up all night, so with the like kids and moms and stuff like that,
Not
we
stay up all
yeah,
night,
we're not staying up all
please.
night. We're going to sleep and asking the dark goddess, which is the goddess of this tradition or of this observance, for dreams. So we're making this space for the dreams to come through. And in this tradition, we're staying up all night and feasting, or maybe we're having dreams to kind of celebrate this the labor that the dark goddess is going through. So she's going through labor and birthing the sun. Which brings me to like, yeah, you're talking about like the womb is this space of darkness. Most mammals and humans included, like if left to their own devices to birth, without a lot of intervention, will labor at night. And we go toward safe, small, quiet spaces to birth as well. That's what we naturally do. Like if you've ever had a puppy or kittens, or sorry, a dog or a cat who have puppy or kittens, they might like go into a closet or something like that because that's where it feels safe to give birth. So we can think of this long night as the goddess laboring. And then in the morning, the sun is reborn. And a tradition would be to watch for the dawn and to drum and dance and welcome in the reborn child who brings back the light and the promise of summer. This is also like New Year's for the turn of the wheel. It's more like the natural New Year's too, rather than like the calendar New Year's. So you can think of this dawn like celebration being kind of like midnight on New Year's Eve, where we're cheering and kissing and celebrating and doing all the things for this new year. It's the birth of the sun. So a lot of similarities there. Anything to add before I go into the goddess and the god?
No, yeah.
Okay.
It's
So the goddess of this tradition, like I said, is the dark goddess. She's the dark mother, Mother Night, or Mother Winter. She's the giver of gifts and the teacher of lessons. Her love for her children is without limit. Her greatest gifts are given to us freely. We don't have to earn them or deserve them. We simply receive them. It's like the sun shines on all of us, right? We don't have to earn that. It's just an inherent part of living on this earth. So that's the dark goddess, and she labors. And I love, again, going back to like my own experiences. Like I think about my labor with Gemma, and my water broke at 10:30 p.m. and she was born at 5:30 a.m. So I did have this like full night of this intense focused play between like the contractions or the waves, and then like being as soft as possible in the time in between. And I think about this goddess in the same way. She's doing this work to bring this gift into the world. So in the book, they say, with every new life comes new possibilities. In the realm of the Dark Mother, anything is possible. So if you want to change something in your life or something about yourself, the winter solstice is a good time to work on it. And we'll come to this, but it brings to mind, like, a lot of times we use this moment to release what we need to release and to invite in new energies. Similar to like new moon or full moon. So the god, so each tradition has a goddess and god. It says the gifts of the mother are like seeds that grow in the dark. They are born from her, but the god is the bringer of gifts. So there's a lot of parallels between this god and like Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, she does all the laboring and then he's born and he's bringing the gift to the world. And he represents the sun. And it says, old and tired by the longest night, the god goes to sleep in the arms of the goddess and is reborn at the dawn of the sun. So there's also this theme of death and rebirth, which makes a lot of sense if you're looking at the solstice as the new year. Yes. And I think a lot of us naturally gravitate to these practices at this time of, like, I know I don't really feel complete in the year until I've really taken the time to reflect. In fact, if you listen to our next episode that's coming out next week, Rashida and I are going to be doing that together and inviting you to do the same thing. So we can really kind of close the container of this year. We can celebrate, we can grieve, we can let go, we can let all of that become like the fertilizer for the next year. So that's the god and goddess. Anything to add?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Okie dokie. So some fun stuff. An altar space. You can think of like your mantle that you put your beautiful evergreens on. Items from nature. So this is stuff that many people already do. But in Yule, you might gravitate more toward like real items that are grown from the earth, rather than something plastic, although something plastic could work in its stead. That's for fine. Sure. Yeah. If that's what you have, great. Not everybody has access to like fresh evergreen cuttings.
I did that the other year. Not this year because we won't be here, but last year, and I hung it all around my kitchen and it just gave like a certain energy.
Mm-hmm.
That and dried orange slices.
Yeah.
It's just something about like the realness and the energy that it brings into your home.
Yeah, I think on Thursday, so we have a tree right out in front and it's where we have our little fairy garden and it's an evergreen. I'm not sure what kind of tree it is. I've looked it up before and I couldn't quite pinpoint, but I've cut branches off of that before too and put them on our mantle and it just adds a little nice element from nature inside, especially this time of year where like admittedly I'm not spending as much time outside. When Gemma was a baby, I could like bundle us up and throw her in the stroller and we'd still go on a walk every day, but it's harder to convince her now.
A three-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, to do that. So we are inside more and yeah, bringing those natural winter elements inside can be really, really nice. You might also have something, if you have an altar, on your altar to represent the sun and something to represent like the dark mother goddess. It might be like a moon. It might be, you know, like a Gaia figurine with a pregnant belly, you know, whatever makes sense to you. When it comes to altar work, I don't think having like exact objects is really that important. It's really all about like what they symbolize to you.
The intention behind the object.
And yeah, and the intention. Rashida and I had a fun, or you and I had a fun conversation about like crystals because we went to the science museum and they had all these crystals there and dinosaur bones and stuff like that. And many of them are millions of years old.
Like so old.
Yeah. I was saying like, it's so funny that we feel like we need to cleanse our crystals and stuff like that when they are very stable and they've been in existence way longer than we can even like imagine. Like our lives are just a tiny little blip in the life of the crystal. They're probably, if they have consciousness, they're probably like, what are these folks doing?
Putting me in some water, running water. Why are they leaving me here? Putting me on the windowseal. Well, they might like that. They might like that.
Might like it, but I do think some of those practices are just more of a set, like they are marking the internal processes that we're taking,
yeah,
rather than like quote unquote
doing cleansing. Something to the crystal. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
I mean, but it's, when you really think about it, what we really gonna do? What? I mean,
like it's fine.
I can only imagine, you know, there's like videos where it's like the little eyes and the little mouth is talking. I can only imagine like the crystal being like, girl, I was here before you were even anyway. I'm just having my own inner dialogue with my crystals now, because I
I love it.
remember being my newbie self, getting into crystals and doing all the things. And now, like, you're right, when you think about it, like, they've been here so long. Like, what wisdom can I learn from you? Like, how do I cleanse myself? Like, can you help me cleanse me? Type of situation.
That makes me think of like, what if instead we chose a crystal that like represents or is associated with whatever we're needing, and then just sat with it intuitively and like asked for its wisdom,
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I feel like I don't know what it is in my mood today, but I want to go in like a thousand different directions.
Well, you were talking about things that we could do. Let me
Yes.
share. So, what we did last year and what we're going to do again this year is we go outside and we have this tree. It is some type of like evergreen tree. Again, I don't know what it is. But we feed the birds and the squirrels and little animals. It's just like our contribution. We do that on the winter solstice. And then we also do sun bread. And so this year will be interesting because we now have Miles who can get into everything. But yeah, I think the best part about this is, oh, and we also read the shortest day book. I can't remember who that's by. But I got that last year, and it was really nice to talk about it with Macy, Suzanne Cooper, The Shortest Day. It was really nice to talk about what this day is and what its significance is with Macy in a way that she could understand, not just doing the cool activities, but really seeing her brain like work. So those are some of the things that we do here in Orange, Virginia.
I'll share a few things. One is Yule tree decorations. So if you have a Christmas tree, this is the same thing. Like this was a tradition that was adopted from Yule, not the other way around. If you want to add natural elements, like the orange slices are great. We've strung popcorn before, and that was really fun.
Okay, how fun is that? Like, for me, I'm thinking like, how tedious is this going to be?
It's a little bit, but so Arthur and I, like the first real Christmas we had together before he moved to Kansas City, I went down to Tampa and we like got a tree and we invited all of our friends over and we like dried oranges and our friends all strung them together and we did the popcorn and we all strung that together and all of our friends brought like a handmade ornament too. And that's my favorite tree that we've ever had because it was like made by many hands. It wasn't tedious. It was fun because we were all doing it together and we weren't just standing around talking and drinking. Like we had
That's
something to
something to
do,
do.
which was really fun. So I would say with like little kids, it's probably pretty tedious, but as they get older and they can participate, it could be a good amount of fun. Also like cutting snowflakes, stuff like that you can do on the tree. And we have our favorite ornaments, and I love getting them out every year and looking back. Something else, so we did last year the sunbread as well, and I believe there's a children's book that has the recipe. We don't have the children's book. I need to order it, but I
I
found the
found the
recipe
recipe off of
online, and it's
Pinterest.
so cute. It's so
Yeah.
cute. It's adorable, and the bread is really tasty. So we did that. I showed Gemma a picture of it recently and she got excited. She's like, "When are we going to make the sun bread?" So
Oh,
I'm happy that it's starting to become like a
a
tradition now,
tradition.
right?
Yes.
And then we made a sun crown too. And in the book I have, it shows how to do it, but it's just taking a paper plate, like painting or coloring it, and then cutting it into a crown and wearing it. And so she wore it last year and it was really cute.
Aww.
And then everything else is really just the decorating, the holly, all the Christmas stuff that was really just adopted from Yule. Those are our traditions. We talked about this on our first call, but I was trying to get Arthur to like design a solstice cocktail, And you and I decided there should be two cocktails, like a light and a dark. Like, or mocktail is fine, but one I wanted to call like liquid sunshine. So it would be like this birth of the sun, something with like blood orange, something with turmeric, maybe. I don't know. And then like the dark
The dark
goddess.
goddess, yeah.
Yeah, which I don't know, maybe like elderberry, maybe even like charcoal or something in it could be cool.
That would be interesting. Tell Arthur, whenever he decides to get on this, that I want to be
Okay.
there to taste it.
Well, he's sitting right here, so hopefully he's taking in this information. He said, I like liquid sunshine. So that is our little overview of Yule. And again, next week we'll be going over different reflections to end the year. And we hope that you have at least a moment just to observe that this day on the 21st and really take in the wisdom of nature and maybe think about what you're letting go of, what is gestating within you, and what gifts you are birthing. Known and unknown. Anything to add?
No, friend. I think we did pretty good this one. Summed it
Okay.
right up.
Take two. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, besties, thank
Perfect.
you so much for joining. And like Lauren said, just take a moment and observe. And also really be on the lookout for our next episode. We want to do these things to kind of like create that space in a world that is always asking us to go to the next thing. We kind of miss these shifts, miss these moments, and we get to take this time. And Lauren and I are really big on using our platform to do so. So we hope you enjoyed this episode, and looking forward to seeing you next week.
All right, bye, besties.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.